Thank you again so much for joining us today. And as always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, praise, and worship, and everything in of ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah El, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Hallelujah!
That sounds awesome. Shemreni ke'ishon bat ayin, betzel kenefecha taskireni. Protect me like the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. So we're repeating that for God's protection, for Yah's protection, because we meant to get to Worlds in Collision and read from more Velikovsky on the last show, but we never got to it. So now we're getting to it on this show. And we do need Father's protection because there are what's so great about Velikovsky is that he went across all of the globe and he actually paralleled different cultures, witnesses, eyewitness testimony and writings about the catastrophe coming from the heavens down to the earth and how it affects the earth.
They were not talking about ancient aliens coming down and doing things for them or with them. Now they talked about, but further you go back, about the fallen ones the scriptures talk about that came down and taught ancient writing and war. Culture and cities and makeup and painting yourself and jewelry and wearing earrings and adultery and all the rest, the worst things you can imagine, war and chaos.
War and chaos as well.
And especially like on writing and things, it's one of the things the Book of Enoch stresses, that one of the most evil things that man can do is start to get to writing his own words, because then we get puffed up in our own heads, and then the likelihood for us to humble ourselves and change our minds and actually speak that out in the wider public audience, we are more than likely not going to do that. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher or a pastor or you're a scientist.
So you've got to take your thoughts captive while you're doing that. But remember, Enoch wrote a bunch of stuff down, and Abba commanded him to. So it is a very valuable tool, especially for those who serve Abba and keep their thoughts in proper order when they're doing the service.
What he was warning about is the many, 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 many books that the imaginations of the broken hearts of men would write to confuse the creation and where it's going.
You want to see what Todd's talking about, what Enoch's talking about? Just go to YouTube. Just go look at YouTube. You will be befuddled by all of the just dross on YouTube. You can't even pick the truth from the lies there anymore, because everybody in their vain imagination is sticking something out on there.
That's right. Well, you can only pick it. You can only use the Torah. You can use the Torah. You can use the scriptures to weed your way through that. And you will eventually get to the understanding that Velikovsky has put out and presented for us. And as a contemporary and a friend of Einstein, he was also the founder of the Hebrew University. This guy was no imbecile, and he was one of the biggest, smartest minds of his time. And he was vilified. The publishing companies were threatened by the corporations that owned them, and they made sure that they stopped publishing his books, and he had to find different publishers in order to get his books put out there. And the whole entire scientific community ostracized him. And why? Just is because they would lose their grants from the powers that be, the people who get to print the money out of thin air and buy up the whole world out of the blood, sweat, and tears of our own children and our own being.
Yeah, because they didn't ostracize him based on his actual thesis. Nope. They actually, I mean, his work was very sound, and they couldn't find a lot wrong with it. So they avoided even looking at scientific fact at that point, and just attacked on the basis of character or personality or his hairdo or his clothing. Just ridiculous.
Same thing that goes on today, and you guys buy it hook, line, and sinker, or not you guys, and our listeners.
That's
right. Most of the people out there.
Most of the people our listeners are dealing with.
Yes.
You know, that's why you like paradigm shift, because you can identify with what we're saying. We're dealing with the same people on the same mental levels, and we're going
heart injuries. The heart injuries. Yep. Got to get over ourselves. It's not about us. It's about people. It's about making our. You want to have an investment. It ain't about a 401k or trying to get your new Honda or your new gold watch or rings or whatever you're pursuing in,
keeping
in
up
your
with
life.
The Jones.
Keeping up with the Joneses. It is about investing in people, investing
right.
in hearts. So that anytime, like you get a job, and you're not, you won't have the job very long, more than likely. But this is our job to do and our task. You get a job, you go into that environment, and you see you're going to be around brokenhearted people who are doing all kinds of crazy things. They don't understand why. You have to open your mouth because your blood is on their hands. Now, our job is only about the people. We get blessed along the way as we do that. We think we might lose. Yeah, sure, we might lose our job. We might lose family or friends or this, that, or whatever. But what are you willing to give up? Abraham was willing to give up Isaac. Our Abba was willing to give up his son, Yahushua.
Matthew 12:50, I think it is. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, mm-hmm. and my mother.
You don't have faith if you're not in that place where you're willing to give up anything on a daily basis and without fear in your heart doing so. And if you're not used to doing that, you start practicing it now, believe me, Abba will take care of you.
That's right. Your family and your...
You will get stronger in heart, and your family will get stronger.
And your family and friends are not your most important precious things in this world.
No. Nope.
He said our family will be a snare and a trap to us because we can't let them go. And they need to be let go. How else are you going to teach them a better walk unless you
or
get straight and you stand in it? That is where shalom comes from. Destroying with authority the evil, the chaos in our midst. That's the shalom. That is the sheen, lamed, mem. That it is not just a word we walk around to greet each other with. If you're using that word, then you please, please get it in your brain to actively pursue evil and not let it remain in your midst. Get those boundaries created so that you can actually be more effective in the kingdom. Okay, we don't want to go on and on.
We don't want to go on and on. But you're only saying shalom. That means peace. In English,
well,
that means peace. Now, peace, that's the same thing. The action word, it's an action word.
Yes.
Peace is an action word. You can't have it unless you cut out the chaos.
That's right.
Unless you're willing to stand at all costs.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. There's no such peace unless you cut it out. Otherwise, you're just in la-la land.
Okay, now we're going.
And the announcements I just want to make is, number one, send in your testimonies for your witnesses about the changes and the things that you are seeing in the earth. We will read them on air, and we will post them on the website once the website gets up. So please don't miss that. Wake up. Look around. Second, if you want the newsletter, you want to get in contact with us or anything like that, you can email us at paradigmshift@hisplan.net or toddertamer@hebrewnation.net. Okay, so now we're going to go into reading. We got to hit it this time. Chapter 5, the steeds of Mars were at the planet worship in Judea in the 7th century.
Very good. We left off on part 10, right?
By Velikovsky, Worlds in Collision.
That's right. We're starting on the paragraph under planet worship in Judea in the 7th century, right after Worlds in Collision, part 10. If you want to get all the parts of this series, you can contact Hebrew Nation. Hebrew Nation, go to HebrewNation.net, or it's HebrewNation.com. I always
net.
Get those.
Net. We messed up.
Go to one of those, and you can order the series from them. And remember, Mishpoka, we don't get paid for any of that. That goes to help contribute to the radio station itself. And all the people on that radio station and a part of Hebrew Nation, they're all out there just teaching you for free, as we are commanded to do. They're teaching you, a lot of them are, they're teaching you what they are getting for free from our Abba. And that's what we do. And that's our principle.
Freely you've been given, or freely receive, freely you give.
Freely you give. And because it's not ours to have, or to hold on to, or hold over anybody's heads.
That's right.
Or determine that you must do it our way. Well, matter of fact, we will refuse that you come and follow us. We will make sure that you pick up your own backpack and go up the mountain. We will help you carry it for a little while, but we will be teaching you along the way how to walk this walk on your own. You're just not going to get to sit in the audience and watch the show. Okay, if you do, then these meteorites are going to come down and knock you in the head. Okay, so anyway, the scriptures do not hide the fact that in Judea, as well as in Israel, the planetary cult was the official cult with the priests and with kings, with many prophets and with the people. Thus, Jeremiah, contemporary of King
Josiah,
uses a J, I'm used to using other Hebrews, says, At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun, and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. And again he says, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven. Now, Mishpachah, some of you probably understand what we're saying when we say this, but the Gregorian calendar, the rabbinical Hillel 2 calendar, and any other calendar of man are all sun, moon, planet, and star worshiping calendars. If you are going by time and season according to what man has prescribed, you are under the thumb of the banking sorcerer kings who established the prime and meridian on this earth, time and space and navigation for all mercantilism, which includes the blood and water in your body.
Which, a bottom line is, you've given your authority over to them. Whether you know it or not, by following those calendars, you've given your authority over.
We perish for
lack of knowledge.
That's right. We perish for
because
lack of knowledge.
Because we rejected knowledge.
In the days of Jeremiah and King Josiah, a scroll was found in a chamber of the temple. This is 2 Kings. It is generally thought that it was the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of the Pentateuch. The text of the scroll made a strong impression on the king. Unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nation under the whole heaven. That's Deuteronomy 4. And going on, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, which is a passage of the Decalogue, Exodus 20, verbatim. If there be found among you man or woman that hath wrought wickedness and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman and shall stone them with stones till they die. Thus we see the centuries-long struggle for the Jewish God. It's actually the Hebrew God, Mishpachah. That's
exactly
another delusion we've been taught over time, because we were cursed to forget who we are in the northern 10 tribes of Israel, because we went away with Jeroboam, who was the servant of Solomon at that time, who was backed by the Egyptian pharaohs, because he ran away from Solomon into the pharaoh's arms and intermarried, and then they sent in provocateurs into the land to split up the kingdom of Israel afterwards, after Solomon passed. Thus we see the centuries-long struggle for the Hebrew God, I would say, creator and not an unanimated planet. Itself a creation being carried on in the closing decades before the exile to Babylon with the help of the book whose authorship was ascribed to Moshe. When the people of Jerusalem were exiled to Babylon, and groups of refugees succeeded in escaping to Egypt, taking with them Jeremiah, they said to him, "But we will certainly burn our incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine." So they were really backwards, Mishpachah. It is apparent from this passage that the population of Jerusalem that sought refuge in Egypt thought the national catastrophe fell upon their people, not because they had left the Lord God, but because in the days of Josiah and his sons, they had ceased to worship the planetary gods of Manasseh. And especially the Queen of Heaven, the planet Venus. Of this remnant of the people that went to Egypt in the beginning of the 6th century, a military colony was established in Eb, in southern Egypt. Documents, or papyri, of this colony were unearthed in the beginning of this century. The Jewish colony in Elephantine faithfully worshipped Yahweh, the Lord of the Sky, as the theophoric names of many members of the colony testify. Scholars were puzzled, however, to find on one of the papyri that the name of Anat Yahu. They were uncertain whether it belonged to a goddess or a place or a person. Anat is the familiar name of the Canaanite goddess identified with Athene in a Cyprian inscription. The historical facts revealed in the present research make the understanding of such cult easier. The dark tradition that it was the planet Venus that played such an important role in the days when the forebears of these refugees in Egypt left that land and passed through cataclysms of fire and water, sea and desert, was responsible for this syncretism of names. Okay.
Where?
Right there.
Okay. The Jewish people, maybe the Hebrew people, did not obtain all of its supremacy in that one day. Okay, so it was the Hebrew people because they're talking about the mountain of law giving. So the Hebrew people did not obtain all of its supremacy in that one day at the mountain of law giving. This people did not receive the message of monotheism as a gift. It struggled for it, and step by step, from the smoke rising from the overturned valley of Sodom and Gomorrah, from the furnace of affliction of Egypt, from the deliverance at the Red Sea amid the sky-high tides, from the wandering in the cloud-enshrouded desert burning with naphtha, from the internal struggle from the search for God and for justice between man and man, from the desperate and heroic struggle for national existence on its narrow strip of land against the overwhelming empires of Assyria and Egypt, it became a nation, chosen to bring a message of the brotherhood of man to all the peoples of the world. I really like the way he wrote that too, because it is not something you don't just get to all of a sudden serve this monotheistic God. You work for it. It right. is a verb to serve him. It is not something you sit on your duff and rest on your laurels and he's going to pat you on the back for it.
And your ascension robes waiting for Jesus to come and get you out.
A Collective Amnesia, Chapter 6. It's an established fact in the learning about the human mind that the most terrifying events of childhood, in some cases even of manhood, are often forgotten. Their memory blotted out from consciousness and displaced into the unconscious strata of the mind, where they continue to live and to express themselves in bizarre forms of fear. Occasionally, they may be converted into symptoms of compulsion neurosis and even contribute to the splitting of the personality. One of the most terrifying events in the past of mankind was the conflagration of the world, accompanied by awful apparitions in the sky, quaking of the earth, vomiting of lava by thousands of volcanoes, melting of the ground, boiling of the sea, submersion of continents, a primeval chaos bombarded by flying hot stones, the roaring of the cleft earth and the loud hissing of tornadoes of cinders. There occurred more than one world conflagration. The most horrible one was in the days of the Exodus, and may I remind you, he says, the second Exodus will be even more memorable than the first. The first will be forgotten. Guys, the second Exodus is going to be major earth upheaval. It is going to be what we are reading to you, and it will be worse than the first one.
That's right. That's according to all the prophets of old,
uh-huh.
which our people killed. It wasn't anyone else that killing the prophets. It was our own people killing the prophets because they didn't want to have...
Conviction.
Yeah, there you go.
We don't want the truth.
Reproof.
Nowadays, the truth is hate speech, and that's exactly what they were saying to the prophets as they were killing them. The
that's
truth
right.
is hate speech.
It's hate speech unless you're gonna talk about being gay and killing Christians or something.
Yep.
Or being Islamist and killing Christians or Jews. Then it's hate speech. Of course, you're living in a nation that is made up of mostly supposedly Christians, and then if you're living in Israel of Jews of Judah. And but yet we somehow get tricked into believing that we are our worst own enemy, and we must destroy ourselves by extending tolerance to everyone.
I'll tell you how we get tricked into it. It's called mass media.
That's right.
It's a Illuminati mass delusion.
Controlled mass media.
That's right.
Satanic controlled mass media and
okay.
politics and government and education and foods and all the rest.
In hundreds of passages in their Bible, the Hebrews described what happened. Hey, he uses the word Hebrews here. That's interesting. Little double-minded man. Okay.
He goes back and forth.
Yeah, he does. So it's Hebrews, guys. Don't forget that. It's not about the Jews
alone. It's
12
tribes.
That's right. Returning from the Babylonian exile in the 6th and 5th centuries before this era, the Hebrews did not cease to learn and repeat the traditions, but they lost sight of the fearful reality of what they learned. You know what's going on? Because he's just...
They forgot the Exodus.
He's putting Hebrews as Jews. That's what... There's no... Yeah.
Right.
And they forgot the Exodus. That's right. Because it was so painful. They put it out of their memory. It was so painful. This is, you know, something that the human mind can do. We got to fight to hang on to reality. Apparently, the post-exile generations looked upon all these descriptions as the poetical utterances of religious literature. The Talmudists, in the beginning of this era, disputed whether a deluge of fire or prophecies in the old traditions would take place or not. Those who denied that it might come based their argument on the divine promise found in the book of Genesis that the deluge would not be repeated. Those who argued to the contrary, reasoning that though the deluge of water would not reoccur, there would come a deluge of fire, were attacked for construing too narrowly the promise of Yah. Both sides overlooked the most prominent part of their traditions, the history of the Exodus, and all the passages about the cosmic catastrophe endlessly repeated in Exodus, Numbers, and the Prophets, and in the rest of the Scriptures. The Egyptians in the 6th pre-Christian century knew about the catastrophes that overwhelmed other countries. Plato narrates the story which Solana heard in Egypt about the world destroyed in deluges and conflagrations. Quote, "You remember but one deluge, though many catastrophes had occurred previously," end quote. The Egyptian priests who said this and who maintained that their land was spared on these occasions forgot what happened to Egypt when in the Ptolemaic Age, the priest Mentheo starts his story of the invasion of the Hyksos by acknowledging his ignorance of the cause and nature of the blast of heavenly displeasure that befell his land. It becomes apparent that the knowledge which was possibly alive in Egypt in the days when Solon and Pythagoras visited there had already sunk into the oblivion in the Ptolemaic Age. Only some hazy tradition about a conflagration of the world was repeated, without knowing when or how it occurred. The Egyptian priest, described by Plato as conversing with Solon, supposed that the memory of the catastrophes of fire and flood had been lost because literate men perished in them, together with all the achievements of their culture. And these upheavals, quote, "escaped your notice because for many generations the survivors died with no power to express themselves in writing," end quote.
That's right. And Solon, just to give you a reminder for the previous parts, Solon was the Greek king. He came and he came to the pharaohs of Egypt, the priests of Egypt, to find more knowledge, to figure out what was going on. Why do we have this confusing pantheon in Greece of all these stories that are overlaid with new names of new gods? And what they're actually describing is the movement of the planets above that caused all the catastrophes on the earth because of the wickedness and the way the Torah physics works on this earth. If we don't do as we are designed to do, this earth becomes a catastrophic and it cleanses itself of us. He cleanses us.
It's his judgment.
From the earth. It's his judgment. It's an automatic system that's set up. It's
not Torah physics.
Yeah, Torah physics. It's not Eastern mysticism of, what do you call it, karma. I mean, that is Torah physics in a different word, Mishpachah.
That's right.
And that's because we were scattered to 70 nations and we forget things very quickly between the wars that we create between one another and the injuries and the hunger of our bellies and all this kind of stuff. And just to throw in something else here real quick, the Hyksos. To remind you, after Egypt was destroyed during the first Exodus, they were left totally unprotected. The whole army and Pharaoh was killed. So they were left completely unprotected, and the Hyksos were invading the Arabians or Amalekites. They were the Amalekites that are in your scriptures. They came into Egypt and ruled there for 400 to 500 years, and that history has been conveniently forgotten and written out. And why? Because it was at the command of our Abba, as you read in our scriptures, that we were to blot out everything about the Hyksos and the Amalekites. The spirit of the Amalekites is the spirit of ISIS and the Islamists today. They raped the Egyptian injured. They broke their arms. They tortured them. They burned all of their history, all of their legal documents, everything, Mishpachah.
I just want to finish this paragraph. Okay. Similar arguments found in Philo the Alexandrian, who wrote in the first century of this era, quote, "By reason of the constant and repeated destructions of water and fire, the later generations did not receive from the former the memory of the order and the sequence of the events," end quote. And we can pick this up here.
Yeah, no, that's good enough.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll go into part 12 next time, and we'll try not to talk so much at the beginning of the show so we can get some more of this, because we will finish this series with 40 more pages. It is basically the meat of this book and where everything has been and where it is all going, Mishpachah. So keep looking up everything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For yourself, make off image. Will bow down to them. You shall not bring the name of the Lord your Elohim to naught. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.